Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Good morning. This is Amy Loboda from Sun and Fun's Fly-In with Michael Kiernan, Director of Aircraft Integration and Certification for Avadyne Corporation in Melbourne, Florida. And today we have taken the time to fly Cirrus 53 Charlie Delta with the new Avadyne System 9 software and hardware, as he was explaining to me. And we have seen the future. And the future is now when it comes to eliminating knobology in the cockpit. What do you think about that, Michael? Is that what this was designed to do?
Oh, absolutely. That was the goal, was to reduce mode confusion, reduce layers of the user interface. And the system does many things. So to achieve simplicity in operation was a real struggle. It's a balance between how much the system does and how easy it is to operate. But I think we've really achieved that. I've been flying the airplane IFR in system now all over the country since about August, and I would really dread flying anything else at this point. I've become accustomed to it. I think it's a milestone product.
There was commentary earlier that basically said that this is the product that should have gone into the Eclipse 500. They're pieces and parts of dream technology in this, and I saw it today when we simply flipped one simple switch and it already had a sense of where we were and where we wanted to go. Can you talk a little bit about the logic that goes into making it that easy for the pilot?
Well, this system was designed for the light jet market, the single pilot IFR environment. The FMS is the core of this, the flight management system and the user interface of the flight management system. There are a couple key features to that. We have a QWERTY keyboard for waypoint entry. There's also a function we call geofill. I think we've trademarked that. It's simply a context-sensitive waypoint entry. For instance, if you're making a plan that goes a specific direction, as you start entering waypoints, it looks for waypoints nearby. Typically, entering any flight plan that I've done recently, by the second character, it's guessed what I'm looking for. So you have to watch your feedback as you enter it, because it's always going to guess what you want before you're finished typing. So that really reduces button presses in terms of a flight plan. I entered a airway flight plan yesterday, introduced the system to a Garmin 430 operator who had just made the same flight. It said it took 3 minutes plus twisting and punching, and we did it in about 20 seconds. It really is easier in terms of plan entry, plan modification. And in being easy to use, we're convinced it's much more likely to be used. There's many features of current systems that simply aren't used because they're too difficult to use.
Absolutely. People learn Direct 2 and they really don't go much past that because it takes too much time. One thing that I learned right off the bat was it took us inside of 30 seconds to enter a flight plan into this system that we wanted on my very first try. And not only that, it took me less than 15 seconds to figure out where the checklists were and how to use them, because there's a dedicated checklist button right on the panel. And by using that button as a rocker switch as well, I could tab through other things.
The user waypoint was designed to be very flat. The five buttons across the bottom are the five main pages, and they're rocker buttons that select tabs, additional pages within that context. For instance, FMS has multiple pages of a map with plan, a full plan, information, but the number of tabs never exceeds what you can see. So if I've selected FMS, I can see all of the tabs available, and they're they're labeled. You know what they are. So getting lost in terms of what white dot has what information just never happens.
Now, one of the other things that this does so beautifully is you can toggle through your flight plan, which is the whole flight plan's right up there on the map screen. There's plenty of room for it. These are what, 10?
These are 10-inch
screens. 10-inch screens. And you can toggle through and you can put in crossing restrictions. You can put in all kinds of other little data with no effort whatsoever. There's no nesting.
And again, there was a real balance to achieve, providing information people typically use without causing simple information overload when you simply have too much information, too many characters on the screen.
Yeah.
So we tried our very best to make it visually simple to navigate and provide the information that you need when you need it. That was the core of simplifying the FMS and the user interface.
Michael, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Managing Safety, Flightline Internet Radio.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lavoda and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to Managing Safety with Amy Lavoda, your guest host here at the Sun and Fun Fly-In 2009. I have with me Michael Kiernan, Director, Aircraft Integration and Certification for Avadyne Corporation. We have just finished flying the Avadyne System 9. And Michael, one of the real true aspects of safety that this system has that very few other light aircraft, EFIS, PFD, MFD systems have right now is true redundancy. This system has two of everything and they're set up in parallel. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The two displays are identical both in hardware and software. So they can do all of the functions the other can, and it's a true dual data bus architecture. So given, say, a display failure, all of the other cards available on the failed unit are available to the other unit. So your loss of operability isn't very much reduced with given failures on a box. For instance, there is a ADAHARS in both boxes. There's a digital NAVCOM in both boxes. There's a WAS GPS, both boxes. Your selections for primary nav are obviously NAV1, NAV2, but your third selection is FMS, the one you're going to use the most. That is not selectable to one or two. You simply have the FMS. It's literally running in parallel in both boxes. And what that translates to is, for instance, say a box fails on an approach. Since your other box is already running your FMS, it has the plan, it has your course pointer, it has your altitude constraints, and also recognizes a very high percentage of faults. Say the left box failed, your right box would become your PFD, and you're short final on an ILS with a very bad failure, and all you have to do is shift your eyes. It won't disconnect the autopilot. You can continue the approach with very low workload. That's what it was designed to do.
Excellent, excellent. Talk a little bit about how the radios dovetail into that as well. Are you going to lose your radios if you lose one of these boxes?
Depending on the failure, but for instance, if it was a display or an ADAHARS, no, the radio of the failed box is still available to the other side. And part of our FMS is that most things are tuned for you, more so on the nav side than the comm side. Com, you have many places that you can look up what frequencies are and it'll nominate them for you. But on the nav side, a selected VHF approach is going to be tuned for you. It's going to be decoded for you. And once the system listens to the Morse code audio, decodes it, it presents what the identifier is. So it does that better than I can do it.
So basically what you're saying is as soon as I see the ILS identifier come up, I know it's already been identified.
Tuned and identified.
Tuned and identified. Yourself in heading mode and aim at the final approach course, and it pretty much says you want the intercept or you don't want the intercept.
The vectors is a heading mode that's integrated within the FMS. It makes it a little bit smarter and it reduces mode confusion with the autopilot. There are many, many times that you're going to need to be on a vector other than what you had planned, whether it be traffic, weather, whatever center tells you to do. You need to get off plan. So we needed to make that method of getting off plan and back into plan seamless, without button presses, without forgetting to put your autopilot in a correct mode. So we have a function that we call vectors, that when you press it, it is part of your FMS, it's indicated as such, and feedback on the map, we also present an active dashed line of where that vector is going to take you and where that vector is going to terminate. For instance, if the vector is to intercept the final approach course, that dashed line will approach the will intercept the final approach course and show you the curved path intercept. If you disarm that intercept, it'll show it going through the final approach course. So the importance of the feedback that tells you what's going to happen was critical to making the system easy to use.
Michael, do you see this as a game changer at this point?
Having flown it in system for about 6 months, I believe that more now than when I was testing it as it was being developed. Now that I've seen all these things work together in system, it's absolutely game-changing.
Thank you very much, Michael Kernan, Director of Aircraft Integration and Certification for Avadyne Corporation. For more information about the Avadyne System 9, you can go to www.avidyne.com, www.avidyne.com. We're here at the Sun and Fun Fly-In 2009. Amy Loboda, your guest host for FAA Production Studios Managing Safety. Have a great and safe day.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.